Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yud, Parsha Vayishlach, Sicha Aleph, which is also a Sicha about Yutas Kislev. Kveit Kedushas Meir Chami Admor Siper, the Friedig Rebbe related, Sheba Parsha, Shabbos Parsha Vayishlach Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel, that on that Shabbos in the year Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel, HaShabbos HaAchreinu L'chaya Rabba Magid Mezrich V'chaim Chayusa Ba'omidem, which was the last Shabbos of the Mezrich Magid's life in this world. Omar, he said, B'shachvei al mitaseh, when he was lying in bed, B'mayim et achevra kadisha, in the presence of his holy students, he said the following, V'yishlach Yaakov malochim, that Yaakov sent angels, Apirish Rashi says, malochim mamish, that he sent literally angels. So the Mezrich Magid explained that what this means is, Sha'am mamish, Shalom Alochem, Shalom Yaakov Le'esav. Yaakov sent the mamish, meaning the physical, or I don't know if you could say the word physical, but the coarse part of the angels he sent to Esav. Aval Aruchni is Nishar im Yaakov, but he kept the spiritual side of them, he retained for himself. So that's how he explained it. So we have to understand about this pshat. The fact that Yaakov sent literal angels, even though generally one should not use angels, especially if one is able to use ordinary human beings for a certain mission. The Leibnei Adam and a certain person should, but the Yaakov actually sent angels and not people. Mistava Leima, we could say, Shehul, if Yishagavanos Shal Yaakov. That the purpose, the intent of Yaakov by sending angels to Esav was in order to elevate and to raise up Esav. That's why he sent angels. Because it's only within the power of an angel to be able to bring about such a shlichus to elevate Esav. Pu'ulas habirur, this kind of elevation. But if that was his intent, why did he send only the mamish, the let's call it the physical, for no better word, the physical side of the angels, that they move in the pashtos she'inyan abiru shayach be'iker l'chelek aruchni sholem alochem, because it's self understood that which part of the angel is able to bring about a birur, that is the spiritual side of the angel, not the mamish side of the angel. Gam be'etzem einin einu muvin. Also, in the issue itself, we have to understand. Eich efshe lehafrid bein mamish shalom alochem einu aguf shalohem. How is it possible to separate between the body of the angel, which is the mamish of the angel, v'ruchniyosem einu nafshem, and the ruchniyah side of the angel, which means the soul of the angel? How do you separate the two? And then to say that he sent only the body to Esav, and the spirit remained by Yaakov. How do you separate an angel into two? Even when we talk about humans or animals, it's of course impossible for the body to be able to do anything without the soul that's in it. Because the body is completely subservient and secondary to the spirit that is in it. So certainly that this is so in regards to angels, where the soul of an angel is even more dominant than a person or an animal. So if by a person or an animal you can't separate, the body can do nothing without the soul, certainly by an angel, to which the soul is of course much more dominant, how is he going to do anything without his soul? And we also have to understand the pashtos pirush shel Rashi from the simple meaning of Rashi, malachim mamish, literal angels, nira. So it seems from this Rashi shegavnos elishula pirush sholach shluchim basav adam, that what is Rashi trying to say on the simple level, that he sent actual angels and not humans, because you can, of course, you can interpret the word malachim to mean messengers. So Rashi says no, it wasn't human messengers, it was angels. Tahainu, in other words, Shivatevas Mamish Ariu Madgisha Hoyum Alochim Mamish Vulemitsiyas Acheris. What he's trying to say is that they were actual angels and not some other something else. Subamela Bachol Muhuse Binyonashol Bhinas Malach. In other words, that what he sent was an angel. The way we understand an angel, what commonly you refer to as an angel. The ilul of Pirush HaMagid, but then it comes out from the way the Magid interprets it, Shamechuv and Malachim Mamashu Lishlul is Chelag Aruch Nishuvim Atzmam. That what this means is taking away the spiritual side of the angel, that he sent only the body of the angel. Hareyad Gosh Shabbat Shabbatavis Mamashu Lehepach. So it comes out that the word Mamash is the exact opposite of what the simple meaning of the word mamish in Rashi is. Rashi's use of the word mamish on the simple level is that it was actual angels. Comes the Magad, he says, no, it means an angel without his soul, only the body. Shaloi hoya Esav Esa b'chinas malachim mamish. According to the Magad, it comes out that Esav did not actually have actual angels, b'chol mehosa b'inyonim, the way an angel is understood to be. Mikivin the ikir inyanim kanal, because the main function of an angel, which is its soul, hu aruch nishuvahem, and that he didn't have. So therefore, the pshat of the Magid seems to go exactly against the meaning of the simple meaning of Rashi. Al pi kol anal. So therefore, based on all of this, nira li, it would seem to me, says the Rebbe, she'en kavanosu shel Magid ba'omrei anal. That the Magid's intent by saying this in this saying was not lema sheYaakov sholoch leEsav rakas hamamish vaguf shelo malachim levad, to say that Yaakov sent only the body of the angels to Esav, shu tofulu b'kolei nechsha, because the body is only secondary to the soul and it has no real meaning. And he sent it without the nefesh of the angel. What he's trying to say is that the way that Yaakov sent the angels was that even when they arrived by Esav and they were in the presence of Esav, they were there fully, their body and their soul. They never disconnected from Yaakov. They always remained connected and tied to Yaakov. As if to say that what arrived by Esav was only the body was there, but the soul was still connected to Yaakov. That's what it means. Of course they were there in body and soul, but their soul was still attached to Yaakov. In other words, that they always were aware that their true place is not with Esav. That's not where they belong. Where they really belong, their true place is Eitzel Yaakov Sham Ikram, that they are with Yaakov, and that's where they remain, and that's where they're rooted, and so on. That's where their true intent and their true soul remains with Yaakov. And the only reason that they are in the presence of Esav, that's only a secondary thing that they need to accomplish, because they have to fulfill a mission for Yaakov, in a way, and similar to what the body is also, that the body which is called mamish, that is not, the body has no real purpose, only that it is the vehicle through which the soul is able to express itself. So in a similar way, they knew that the only reason that they're there was the mamish. That was only they have to be there for some reason, but their true purpose is to remain with Yaakov, to be with Yaakov, and they're connected to Yaakov. So based on this, we understand so we understand that the interpretation of the Magid, not only does it not contradict the literal meaning of the Rashi, to the contrary, it clarifies and it brightens the understanding of what Rashi is trying to say.
Kiev Shorish Yeshbe Malochim Mamish Lifel Birur Be'esav,
that the ability by malachim mamish, by the actual malachim, to be able to elevate Esav, tachlis hagashmis vachumrius Esav, which represented the absolute gashmi, is the lowest type of gashmi as vachumrius. Hudafke kishenavshem ruchniyusam devuka v'kshura b'yakev. The only way that they can accomplish this is if their spiritual side, in other words, their feeling, their passion, has always remains with Yaakov. Ve'ena mishtamis nishtamis, and it never changes. Gam kshein mitzoyim etzel Esav, even while they find themselves by Esav, they're still connected, deeply connected to Yaakov. And only then could they hope to have an influence on Esav. So it comes out then that the explanation of the Magid, that it's only the Mamish, meaning the physical side of them, that he sent to Esav, it doesn't mean literal. It means that they felt that they were out of their place, and it's as if only their body is there, but their intent and their desire is always remains with Yaakov. So this pshat madgish ed yoser is pirusha apashus l'tevus mamish, brings out an even deeper meaning of the literal, the actual meaning of the word mamish as Rashi intended it. Shesholach as malachim ba'if mashiyev v'nishru malachim mamish, that the way he sent the malachim, that they remain rooted with Yaakov, that's what allowed them to be actual angels in the presence of Esav and not lose their spirit of being an angel, even though they're with Esav. Mamorish Gimel, Mamorish Lamagin Anal, V'chein Ayrom Anal Be'Avedeseinu. This pshat of the Magid, this maimer of the Magid, and also what it teaches us in our Avodah, the Yuvim B'Taisus Bir, we can understand this much more clearly. Al Yedei Hizbeinenus Be'Azman Be'Amatzav Da'Amiris Teirazu, if we look at the context of when this Torah was said by the Mizritcha Magid. Kiniskalel, as we mentioned previously, Torah Zu Amra HaMagid B'Shabbos HaChreinish L'Fnei Yisrael Kusay, the Magid said this on the very last Shabbos before he passed away. He passed away on Yutes Kislev Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel, and he said it that Shabbos Parsha V'Yishlach. Shemizem, from this we understand, Sheba Ma'amari Zeh, Yeshkein Tzavo V'Hiro Klolis B'Avedus Hashem Apiderech Chassidus, that by saying this at the very end of his life in this world, he left this as a last will and testament, so to speak, of a guidance for us, in a general guidance in Avedus Hashem. As the Rebbe many times said, that the last things that a tzaddik says, it gives us to study, are the things which he is leaving us with as a teaching for life. Not only for that generation, but for all generations. And since one of the Talmidim, amongst the Talmidim of the Magid, was of course the Alter Rebbe, a Talmid Chaviv Olu B'Yeser, who was the student that it was most dear and special to him. And as we know that the Magid learned with the Alter Rebbe in a very different way, and with much greater emphasis than with the other Talmidim. We also know what the Rebbe Levi Yitzchok Baditchev said. He said, "Kulanu achalnu mikayra achas." We all ate from the same place, the same plate, meaning from the Mizritcha Magid's teaching. Valitoi and the Litvak, Bakavanulad Murazokim, by Litvak he meant the Alter Rebbe, Kikeno Yenikr Befit Homineh Rava Magid, because that's how the Alter Rebbe was referred to by the Magid, the students of the Magid, the Litvak. So the Litvak, Loka Chelika Mufchar, he took the smetana, he took the fat from the plate, he took the best of what the Magid had to teach. So in other words, that he was acknowledged as the main principal Talmud of the Mizritcha Magid. So we understand that this last teaching of the Magid, which he said shortly before he passed away, has special meaning to the Aveda as the Alter Rebbe said it out. So he said, Chassidus Chabad, in other words, that it has a special lesson in Chassidus Chabad. Al pi my moria yedua shel Rav Magid shenemelad morazokin, and based on what the Magid said to the Alter Rebbe once, Yutes Kisev u'yoyim ha'ilula shalonu, that Yutes Kisev is the day of celebration for the two of us. Why was it for the two of them? Because ki b'Yutes Kisev tofkud lamegimel gimel l'stalik ha'magid. Because on Yutes Kislev of Tavkud Lamed Gimel, as we said, the Magid that was his Yortzeit. Uba'isi Yoyim Bishnas Tavkuf Namet Nuntes. And on that very same day, Yutes Kislev, in the year Tavkuf Nuntes, Yotzad Murazokin Lechedus Masorei, the Alter Rebbe went, were given freedom from his imprisonment. Bavur Zeh Shegila Teres Achsidus. And the reason that he was imprisoned was because he revealed Chsidus. In other words, that at that time he was given the ability to be able to continue and in a greater way to spread chassidus. Mistaba loyma, therefore it's logical to say, Shatayra now, that this teaching that the Mezritcha Magid said shortly before he passed away, Hayyaisu Amra Magid Lufnei Yema Yelula Shaloi, since he said it shortly before this Yema Yelula, a few days before Yitas Kislev, Yeshlo Shaychas Miyachedus Li Yema Yelula Shalad Murazokin, there's also a special connection to the Hilula of the Alter Rebbe as well, since the Magid himself related his Hilula to the Alter Rebbe's Hilula, and he meant to say this Torah shortly before his Hilula, so it must also relate in a very specific way to the Alter Rebbe's Hilula on the same day of Yutes Kislev, Einul Yema Ha'Gulus Ad Morazokin. In other words, it has special relevance to the freedom that the Alter Rebbe was given on that day. So, Dalit, Yoyim Ge'ula Zeh Yutes Kislev Achidush Shabayhu, what was so outstanding and novel about Yutes Kislev, meaning the Alter Rebbe's Yutes Kislev? Yafutzu Meinasech HaChutza, what came to light at that time in a very, very specific way, in a greater way, was the need to spread Chassidus to the outside, that it has to go far and wide, whereas till then it was more an internal teaching. And although the meaning of Yefutzu Menesecha is understood simply, it means to spread the wellsprings of Chassidus, but since the Yidden are tied in with the Torah, and not only are they tied in with the Torah, there is even an expression that the Yisrael Beiraisa are all one. They're not just the tied in, but the Zohar says the Torah and Yidden are one. Harei muvin shekasher nasa chidush bebchinas haTorah. So we understand that if there is something novel that happens within the realm of Torah, which is Yafutzu Meinasech HaChutza in this case, nasa chidush bedugmasa beisusha gam menchinas Yisrael. Since the Yidden and Torah are one, Yidden and Torah are one, so if there's a great chidush in Torah, there is also a great chiddush. There must be an associated great chiddush in the Yidden. The chenu gam be'inish in this chiddush b'tes kislev, and this is also true for this chiddush, the novel idea that came about on Yutes Kislev. Mayonis elush of Yutes Kislev, huschola afatzasum chutza. This wellspring about which we say that on Yutes Kislev started the spreading of this wellspring to the outside. Hey, Mama Yonas, the Pnimius HaTorah. We're referring to the wellsprings of the inner dimension of Torah, Hanikras Nishmasa Deiraisa, which is called the soul of the Torah. Lifnei Yutes Kislev Hoye Begilu Ba'afotzerak Chelag HaTorah Shenikru Gufa Deiraisa. Before Yutes Kislev, what was well known and well spread out amongst Yidden was what's called the body of Torah, Nigla de Torah, which is the revealed part of the Torah, the Gemara, Talmud, Halacha, and so on. Mashenkin Pnimius HaTorah, whereas in regards to Pnimius HaTorah, the inner dimension, Shinish Masa de Raisa, which is the soul of Torah, Shahoysa Oz Behelim, which was at that time concealed, Obedugma Lehefesh Ben Guf Adam and Nishmasa, this can also be compared to the difference between the body of a person and the soul of the person. Haguf he mitzias gluya v'nikeres. The body is something that you can identify, you can see it, you can touch it, and so on. It's clearly recognized. Efshel l'reisa l'mashusha, mashen kena neshama. Whereas the neshama shaloi zubavachi efshel l'tayvsa behechushim hagufnim. Not only is it impossible to be able to sense the neshama with any of the five senses, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, and so on. Ella, but in addition to that, she efsher la siga gam b'keich ha-seikla dak. Not only can't you sense it with the physical senses, but it's even you can't even understand it, comprehend it with seichel. B'keich ha-seichel agiya rak le'diyas ha-mitziyosa shel ha-neshama. What you can use, your seichel, your intellect, is only to come to understand that there is such a thing as the neshama. You know that there exists a neshama. You can understand that through seichel. Because you can see the effect that the neshama has on the body, and you see that the body suddenly becomes alive and it moves and so on, and it has these abilities, so you know that there is a soul which is driving it, so you know that the soul exists. The fact that the body is alive, it forces you to understand, to accept that there is a living force which brings life to the body. But to be able to understand what the soul is, you can only understand that the soul exists, but not what it is. You can't understand what it is, even with your seichel. So that's the difference between the body and the soul, just like there is a difference between the guf of the eraisa and the neshama deraisa. The neshama deraisa was also concealed and was incomprehensible till Yutes Kislev. Ba'achidush du Yutes Kislev, what came about on Yutes Kislev? Shema oz ve'elach, that from then and on, gam chelak ha'nelem ba'apnimi, the Torah, even the concealed part and the inner dimension of Torah, nimshuch ha'bola de'gilui, was brought forth and it was now revealed. Ad she'nitin l'lomdei l'asigah b'seichel, until now we're able to study and to understand concepts in the inner dimension of Torah, which until then were concealed. We can understand it with our own seichel, with our human intelligence. Shema sigin es chelak anigla de Torah vafilach. Just like kamoy shema sigin es chelak anigla de Torah, just like we can understand the nigla of Torah, we can now understand also the pnimius of Torah, and we can even spread it further out. Behine chinuz zeh shabat Torah. Now this novel idea which came about, Gilui Nishmas Deraisa, the revealing of the soul of the Torah, which happened in Yutes Kislev, B'dugmasei Bal Yodin is Chadosh Oz Gam B'Bchinis Yisrael. A similar Chiddush came about in regards to the Yidden. Because as I said before, if there's a Chiddush in Torah, it must mean that there's a Chiddush in Yidden as well. Sh'Neshama Shaboy Shemitzad Atzma Hi Behelem Kanal, that the Neshama of the Yidden, which of its own accord, it would be remain concealed. Until then, it was concealed. Toir etzle begilui, that the neshama also should illuminate the yid in a revealed, in an open way. Hainagambe inyone aguf shaloi, which means that the soul should also permeate even the physical aspects of the yid, which I'll explain. What does it mean that the soul should also be revealed and illuminate even the physical side of the Jew? That's something that needs explanation and will be now explained. Hey, Biradovar. So to explain this, Bizgalusa shel neshama beguf yesh beze fanim klolim. In the way the soul is revealed in the body, there are two general ways in which this happens. Number one, His galus haneshama b'mina kazu, that the neshama is revealed in such a way, to such a degree, sheyesh lo shlita al aguf, that the soul is able to control the body, v'aguf nichna lo, and the body is subservient to the soul, and the soul drives the agenda. Ava b'kol zeh nirgesh aguf mitzkimitzias l'atzme, but at the same time, the body is also has its position and has its place, but it is subservient to the soul. Beis, another way, shaneshama hi bizgalus kol kach ba'aguf, that the soul is so completely revealed within the body, achaguf ein mitzias la'atzme klal, that the body loses its own identity to the soul. Amitis inyan gilui haneshama b'guf, which is the true meaning of the soul is revealed in the body, that the body loses its own identity. in the previous way the body is willing to give up its importance to the soul, but the body also retains its identity. But in this way, the body completely loses its identity. What does it mean? And this can be understood from the way the body interacts with the soul, the animal soul, and so on, and the life soul. How does that happen? Nobody, we never separate between there is the body and there is the soul or the life force within the body, not the spiritual soul, but the life force within the body. We don't say that the body has its own agenda somehow, but is willing to listen to the life force within it. In other words, that the soul, the life force, has to exert its position in order to get the body to do what the life force wants. We never say that. Rather, what is the truth is that since the life force in the body is what brings the body to life, so the soul, the life force, and the body are completely united. And the body is completely subservient to what the soul is, what the life force agenda is. And it's not that the life force has to command the body to listen and to do whatever it is that that the life force wants. Rather, what is true, the body is simply carries out the agenda of the life force. The life force is the life, and the body is the tool by which it does it. And we never separate between the life force has to somehow force the body into subservience. That's not how it happens at all. The body and the life force are completely united as one. And the body is completely subservient to the life force. Al derech zeh u'menigei l'chayis ha'neshama b'bnei Yisrael. You would think that when it comes to the spiritual soul, it's different because the body doesn't always want to listen to the spiritual soul. The spiritual soul wants you to do mitzvahs and learn Torah all day. The body has its own agenda. So it's in a similar way, in this second way that he was talking about, the unity between the body and the soul, the spiritual soul. The Atem Kruim, by a Yid, this is what's possible. The Atem Kruim Adam. The Yidden are called Adam, Al Shem, Adam Al Elyon. Why are we called Adam? Because we are similar to the one above, to Hashem. Shagam Chayusam Agashmi Sibenevish Olegiz. In other words, by Yid, the physical life force also is driven by the Nevish Olegiz, by the godly soul. Shekolin Yoni Metsuyosu de Gufa Yisraeli Yushu Kli La Neshama. In other words, that in truth, the whole purpose of the Jewish body is only to be a vehicle to the godly soul. Just like in ordinary human beings, which we can understand much better, the body is merely a tool to carry out the life force agenda. By a Yid, the body is merely a tool in order to carry out the godly agenda. The godly soul needs a body in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs which are physical bound. Tfilin, tzitzis, sukkah, all of these physical mitzvahs that have to be done with a body. So who dafka yedei evarim agashmim shalaguf, and since they can be carried out only through the physical limbs of the body, and that's the agenda of the body, to fulfill those mitzvahs, to fulfill the agenda of the godly soul. So the whole purpose of the body is only for this purpose, that only through the body is the neshama able to function to fulfill its purpose in this world. Zaisemeres, in other words, Shekol tachlis mitziyusei shela isha Yisraeli, that the whole purpose of a Jew, Einei elo liyis mishkan leyis baruch, is only for the purpose of being a place where Hashem can dwell in this world. K'maymer azal ala pasuk v'asil limidu shechandi b'seicham, as our sages tell us in regards to the pasuk, they shall make for me a holy place and I will dwell amongst them. But seichei lo inemer, it doesn't say that I will dwell in that holy place, ela b'seicham, but rather I will dwell within them. B'seich kalechad v'echam Yisrael, meaning within every Jew. And therefore that's the whole purpose of the Yid's body, and that he has no other identity, in other words a personal identity. There is the identity of being a place for Hashem, but I have my own identity also. There is no such thing. The Yid is only like a kosher wife, meaning a proper wife, to Hashem. The end of the phrase ishak sheira is ha'aisar etzayim baila, that does the will of her husband. In other words, that the Yid only has the purpose of doing the will of Hashem. The Yid is the wife and the Hashem is the husband. And then in addition to that is also the mashakon seishakon baila, that whatever a wife acquires, her husband acquires that. In other words, belongs to the husband. Hainu lois levat shimaskemis lahavik kinyon lebaila, that it's not in a way that a woman acquired something, so she's willing to give it up and give it to her husband. Metam she oisur etzayne, because she is willing to do whatever he wants. That's not what this means. Ki'im, rather what it means, kana baila, that the husband acquires it to begin with. Shanasa shalei b'derech memela, it becomes his automatically. In other words, that whatever, to translate into the Yid and Hashem, that whatever a Yid has, he has a body, it's for the purpose of serving Hashem. That's the only reason. Not that I have a body and I'm willing to give it up to serve Hashem as well. It means that the only reason I have a body is only to serve Hashem. And even such Yidden, I know such Yidden myself, who have not yet reached the level of being this kosher, this proper wife to Hashem. In other words, that everything that I just do Hashem's will. So a person that hasn't reached that yet, at least they are servants to Hashem. Because we know that the beginning of all Aveda is to be a servant. And that is the beginning and the root. And that's where it all builds from. That's where it starts. So every Yid has the ability to be a servant of Hashem. And even in regards to a servant, it also says, whatever a slave acquires, it's the master, his owner, that acquires it. So the same idea is true even if we're only servants. In other words, that this servant, it's not to say that he's not going to rebel against his master. That's not what it's about. Not even to say that the servant is willing to use his possessions in service of his master. Not even that is the point. Not even to say a step further, I'm willing to give up my possessions, let the master decide what to do with it. Not even that. Kim shalom avchatchila ein anachasim sheyachem loy. What the truth is that the possessions are not the servants to begin with. Ki'im la adoine, they belong to the master to begin with. And that's the type of bittul that a Yid has to the Eibishter, to the Nefesh HaLikis, that the whole purpose of the body is only in order to serve Hashem. It has no other agenda. I don't have a personal agenda, or I shouldn't have a personal agenda. It's all about what does Hashem need from this body. Vav beis madreges hanal ba'ofen gilui haneshama. So these two types of levels, whether the soul has to exert its influence on the body, or that the body is simply giving up any kind of personal identity at all. how does that translate in the way the neshama is revealed? Shanashama rakshaleta salagufa, he explained that the neshama only has the control of the body, or the higher level, shaguf enemetzias lasma klal, that the guf has no identity at all. Hein behesem lebeze fane aveda, these accord, these work together with two different types of aveda that a yid can do, as expressed by two different mishnas, or pasuk. Kol masecha yir l'shem shamayim. One is, all of your activity, everything that you do should be for the sake of heaven. Another way of serving Hashem is, b'chol drachecha de'eyu, in all of your ways, you shall know Hashem. Now these two things seem to be saying the same thing. These two phrases, statements, seem to be expressing the same thing, but they're different. How are they different? D'yini yadua hafesh shebein beizeh fani aveda elu. We know the difference between these two approaches to avodah kimetuba kamakam, as was already discussed at in other occasions. The chol masecha yir l'shem shamayim pirushay. What is the meaning of all of your activity should be for the sake of heaven? Usha kavana b'chol asiyosav einam l'shum inyan study. That the intent, the reason, the motivation for everything that you do is not for any other reason. Ki'im l'shem shamayim, only in order to serve Hashem. Avla maisim atzmam hem inyan achor, but the things, the activities themselves, are simply physical activities. They're mundane. They are not kedusha themselves, but the reason you do them is in order to serve Hashem. As if to say that, let's say, when you eat in order to be healthy, in order to be able to serve Hashem, but the eating itself is just a mundane thing. But when we talk about the aveda of b'chol derachecha de'eyu, hu ba'eifen gazeh shebechinas de'eyu yediyas habayi b'chol derachecha v'inyonav atzmon, that the activity itself that you do is also only in a way that knows Hashem. V'lo yishehim b'shvil de'eyu, not that they are there in order to bring about the knowledge of Hashem, but that they themselves are the knowledge of Hashem. That it's through this activity itself that you come to know Hashem. In other words, that the activity itself is permeated by kedusha. What this means is, it might be thought by someone that the way that, how could you know Hashem within the activity itself? That is only if you're involved in something which is holy. If you're, let's say, learning Torah, so then the activity itself is a holy pursuit, and therefore through the activity itself you're knowing Hashem. When you're doing a mitzvah, the activity itself is holiness. Therefore, through the activity itself, you are coming to know Hashem. How are you going to reach such a level that through the actual activity you're doing, you're coming to know Hashem, if you're busy doing something mundane? If you're eating or drinking, if you're busy doing business, so to this comes this lesson of b'chol derachecha de'eyu, shetzarech li yizgam b'chol drachav de'eyu, that in all of your ways, in other words, not the holy things you do, but in all the things that you do, your own personal activities, in that too, you have to, the activity itself has to be permeated with the knowledge of Hashem. Hayinu shetzarech li yizachila atzma tiyik tusha u'mitzvah. In other words, that when you eat, you have to eat in such a way that the eating itself is an expression of kedusha. And not to say that the eating is just eating, but you're going to use the energy of the eating in order to learn a daven. That's not what v'chol derachecha de'eyu means. Balderach. So what then does it mean? Balderach achilus Shabbos. Like for instance, when a yid eats on Shabbos, Suda mitzvah, when a yid eats a suda of a mitzvah, bris or whatever, achilus kochima, when a yid eats karbonis, which in itself is a mitzvah, kiyetzabai, shehem atzma mitzvah, all these three things are themselves a mitzvah. So it's not that you're doing a mitzvah or you're doing something mundane in order to be able to do a mitzvah. The eating itself is a mitzvah. It needs a little explanation, in truth, how this translates into day-to-day life. What does this mean in day-to-day life? Perhaps in order to understand this, to give a mashal, I'm not 100% sure that this is correct, but let's try it. If somebody's eating at a kiddush and he ate 3 crackers and he's finished, he's happy, he's ready to go home. Somebody says, "You ate 3 crackers, can you make a bracha achreina already? Is that already a kazayas?" Or says, "All right, I'll eat another 2. So those 2 that he eats, he's not eating them with the purpose of eating, and then with that he's going to do some sort of a avayda. The whole purpose of that eating those 2 crackers is only for the purpose of making a bracha achreina. So the eating itself is permeated by his need to make a bracha achreina. The Rebbe brings a mashal for this, that by Yitzchak it says that he planted and there and he was blessed. He gave maaser and so it says that Yitzchak didn't plant grain. Yitzchak planted staka. So the Rebbe explains what it doesn't mean literally that he planted staka. It means, of course, that he planted grain, but it wasn't that he was planting grain in order to make money. And he was, of course, he's going to give staka. The whole point of planting the grain was in order to have the means to be able to give staka. So therefore, the activity of planting grain is a mitzvah in itself. It is the way to produce tzedakah. Most people are not conducting business that way. Most people, they make money and they also give tzedakah. I know, I'm aware of one chassid that opened up a business and he took a salary from the business and all the proceeds from the business went to a maysid, to the Rebbe's maysid. In other words, that the business was a shliach, no different than any shliach doing fundraising for his shul, for his Beis Chabad. So in other words, the business was a function of the maysid. So the business itself becomes a holy activity. Or eating, as I said, in the case of Yitzchak's planting, the only reason that he planted was in order to be able to give tzedakah. So also, if a person eats in such a way that the only reason that he eats is in order to be able to, let's say, make a bracha, there's only one way that a person is able to make a mezainis, which is if you eat a physical piece of mezainis. So in order to be able to do that, let's say he wants to get to 100 brachas, so he eats something in order to make a bracha. It's not that his activity is eating. And he eats in such a way that he serves Hashem with the kayach or whatever. I think that perhaps is closer to what the Rebbe is saying here, that a person can actually carry out, even if it's not Shabbos, or you're not at a Suddhis mitzvah, or you're not eating kachim, what would be a thing that in our life that we could do it? Perhaps that is an explanation. Ubei zayfani avayda elu. These 2 types of avayda, b'chol masecha yehem shalayim, b'chol masecha yehem kol masecha yil d'shem shemayim b'chol d'rchecha da'eyu. These 2 types of avayda, k'shurim etluim b'beiz madrega shal esgalos ha'neshama. Those 2 types of avayda are connected to the way the neshama is revealed within the person. K'shadargas esgalusa b'odom hi b'eifin d'shlita ala guf. If the way that the neshama is revealed within the body is that the neshama, the nefesh elokis, has to exert its pressure in order to get the guf to listen, avla guf ametzias b'fnei atzmo, because the body is its own identity, oz avidasi b'pchinas l'shem shamayim, then he can only hope to reach the level of the shem shamayim, that the food is food, but he does it in order to he serves Hashem with it. In other words, the things that he does, like the food, the physical matters, the activities that he does, are also important to him, separate from the service of Hashem. But because he's a yid and a chassidish yid and so on, so whatever he does is in order to serve Hashem. And therefore, doesn't do anything that wouldn't be in order to serve Hashem, to do Hashem's will. But if the neshama is in there in an even more revealed state, until the guf doesn't have its own personal identity at all, it doesn't have its personal agenda at all, then all of his avayda, even in the physical things that he does, are only in a way to know Hashem through that activity itself. Because the body isn't felt separately, is not separate from the Nefesh HaElokis. It's not that the body has its thing, and the Nefesh HaElokis has its thing, and the body is willing to listen to Nefesh HaElokis. The body is only there to express the agenda of the Nefesh HaElokis. And how does he get to know Hashem through the body? As we know that the only way to get to know Hashem, to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah, is because you have a body. So his body is used only for that purpose. And if a person is able to reach that kind of a level, then everything that he does will also be, the activity itself will be merely to serve Hashem. There's no other purpose. There is nothing else. Only to serve Hashem. Now the truth is that even within Becholder Chachadayu there are two separate levels. Aleph is Shekol Av Shekol Asyezevim Ba'atzim Ketusha, even though everything that he does is in itself also considered Ketusha, Bechol Zan Nirgash Basiyosam Gam Agashmi Shebehem. Still, you can sense, you feel the physical activity as well. The physical activity is a holy activity, because that's Becholder Chachadayu. But you feel, you identify with the physical activity as well. Al derech masul achilu Shabbos. Like, for instance, in the case of eating on Shabbos, she atzma mitzvah kanal, which eating on Shabbos is in itself a mitzvah. So you are involved in a holy activity. The mitzvah of eating on Shabbos is that you should honor Shabbos by bringing delight to Shabbos by eating good food. So when you're eating good food in order to honor Shabbos, you know, you're aware that you're eating a tasty meal. And it's the it's in the gashmius, in the enjoyment of the gashmius. That's where the gashmius is felt and sensed, even if you're involved in doing a holy activity. Beis, another way, that everything that is physical about you is so completely secondary and one with Elokus, that even the gashmius has already been transformed to kedusha, and that you don't feel the physical part of it at all. And it's not only because there's so much kedusha that it blinds you from seeing the gashmius. Not only because of that. But rather what it means is that this person understands and lives their life in a way that he gets. You get the fact that Gashmius is merely a way to carry out a lukus. So therefore you don't even see Gashmius as something separate from Elokus. A person can rise to such a level that understands and gets that Gashmius is not separate from a Lakus. It's merely a vehicle for carrying out a Lakus. That's a possibility. And this can also be understood from the way that the body is works, merges with the life force that's within it. It's a well-known idea that when a person, when the body is healthy, you don't feel your body. You don't feel any part, specific part of your body. It's a mila. It's something very sought after that a person should not feel the body. If you begin to feel a specific part of your body, there's something wrong. The fact that you don't feel your body, you're not aware of your body or any specific part of your body, means that everything is functioning well, everything is fine. The dafkikshu margish, and it's only when you begin to feel, the gamim loy bargoshes cave, even if it's not that it's painful, you're not feeling, it's not painful, ela afrak bekoivet amatsiyas, only that suddenly your arm, you're aware of your arm. It feels a little different. In other words, maybe it's heavy or it's feeling different than normal. All you are suddenly aware that you have an arm. That's a problem. Haroi she'alev, or if it's in regards to your head or your heart, hayad, haregel. Hareze ois v'raye she'mashu be'ever ahua b'chol gufa ene g'deboi. That in itself is already an indication that something, either with that particular limb, or in general, there's a problem going on. Vatamlos, that the reason for this is, ma'acha she'kol chayusa imetziyosu shel aguf, hu chayus ha'nefesh, since the whole purpose, the whole metzius of the guf is only the life that it has, l'chein ein enigish b'fnei atzmai b'eisha miyuchad im ha'nefesh k'deboi, and therefore, the body doesn't feel itself, you're not aware of the body, other than that you're alive. That's all. That's the whole body is working together, carrying out life. Because then the nefesh, the life force, is functioning well, properly within every part of the body, and therefore you don't feel that you have an eye. Nobody feels their eye. You don't feel your ear. Only if there's a problem do you suddenly feel your eye. Similar way, in the working together of the body and the godly soul, for a yid that his nefesh elikis is fully illuminated in his body. So Yehudi bari huze, that this healthy, very healthy yid, shekol gufi v'nafshi v'hamis v'chalk v'olam einam nirgoshin l'metzias, that he doesn't see his body and his animal soul as anything separate from his nefesh elikis identity. So he doesn't feel any part of his gashmiyistic existence as being separate from his nefesh elikis. That's true Jewish health. That's true godly health, meaning yid being healthy in a godly way. Similar as a mashal you can bring from food. That this kind of a yid, his whole attitude to food is, this is the way that you are able to carry out godly activity in this world. Not in this world, in other words, you need the energy, but this food, the only way to bring godliness to this world is to eat it. To this food is to eat it. And through this food, you also, it extends to every part of the world that is connected to that food, where it came from, who prepared it, and so on. And therefore, that's how you bring godliness to all of it. And it's the only way you can accomplish that is by eating it. And since the only way that, of course, how do you draw godliness into the food is by making the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed is Hashem who is the King of the world, Shemamshach Elokus Ba'olam. In other words, that you have to bring the Eibishter in the world. You have to bring Elokus into the world. Alamaychal, onto the food. Lachenu Eichel as Amaychal Agashmi. And that's why he needs to eat the physical food. Nimsa Shabachilose Einem Murgash Ella Ha'inyan Shalalakenem Elokhoilam. So it comes out, if that's how you can taka eat, so then the only thing that happens that you are involved in when you are eating is you're involved in bringing Elokus to the world. That's the only thing, that's the only purpose your eating has. The same can be said also about the way you conduct business. Even though you do your business like any other businessman would do, and you have to buy and sell and do whatever it is, his only purpose and intent is to know Hashem through this. As we know the story of Rabbi Yom Kletzker, one of the greater of the Talmidim of the Alter Rebbe, that his business was in trading wood, the trees and so on, forest. One time when he made the calculation and he added and he subtracted and so on, at the bottom line, what did he write? The bottom line is there is nothing besides Hashem. Because what he was expressing there was that the whole purpose of his buying and selling and conducting a business was only to bring out Einoid Muvade. He lived this b'chol drachecha da'eyu. Ches kol prat ve'inyan ba'avedas Hashem sheteres chesidus dereshes mikol echad ve'echad. Every detail of avedas Hashem that chesidus demands of each one. Hinu l'reishul l'reshayna solu rabaseinu nisiyenu ba'avedasim heim esaderach l'avedazu. Since chesidus demands it of each one of us, so therefore the rabbeim, they trod the path. They are the ones that that led us. They started it, and they led us down the path in this area. Making a binyan on that, the same thing is in regards to this. Ki yadua sipur al dvar admor azaken hashem muchach mitteichnei shaloi haya margiz v'mitziyosu shal hageshem. We know from this story that the Alter Rebbe simply did not sense the physical aspect of his eating. When he ate, he didn't identify with the physical part of the eating. Because his whole, the whole purpose of eating was only in order to carry out the agenda of Nefesh HaLikis. What was the story? One time a very important guest came to him. Big tzaddik, because of the importance of that special guest, the family of the Alter Rebbe decided sheyachloku b'neihem es pratei avodat habishul v'sidur ha'macholim l'kvodei. Everybody wanted to be involved in preparing the food for this important guest, so they divided the jobs amongst the different people in the house, and everybody got to do another part of the preparation. V'kach haba, and that's what they did. Avo prat echad nishkach b'eis sidur ha'chaluka, but they forgot one detail when they divided the jobs. Who's going to be the one to add the salt to the food? Later, when they all reviewed it in their minds and everything is done, but everybody remembered that the salt, they left out the salt, nobody put salt. Therefore, everybody said, you know what, I'll go put the salt without telling anyone, I'll have another schus. And added the amount of salt that it called for to the dish. Mibli l'sapam izel hashen, without telling anybody else that they did it. Obviously, what that led to was that it was very much over-salted. Kasher huva tafshel fnei admor azokim ve'erach. So when they served the dish to the Alter Rebbe and this important guest, achle admor azokim keragel, the Alter Rebbe ate it like it was normal. He ate it. But the guest tasted the food and was so salted that he couldn't eat it, so he put it aside. The Alter Rebbe asked him, why aren't you eating? He answered, it's too salty, I can't eat it. So the Alter Rebbe said to him, that even back in Mezritch, in other words, at the beginning of his avoda of in Chassidus, his involvement in Chassidus, Paul al Atzmei already there he accomplished Sholei Laharigish Tam B'Michael, that he should have no sense of taste in his food. V'av Shadargan, in other words, that the Rabbeim already, they did this, they lived this way already, and therefore gave us the ability to do that as well. And even though that this kind of elevated state, of course, is something that is shayach more to people like the Alter Rebbe, but since we know the story as well, we were told the story, so this is a proof, shal kaponim bizmanim yuchodim, that at least in specific, at certain times in our life, even if we can't do this all the time, but at certain times we can reach even this, ubamaymad matzah miyuchod, in a very special time, and so on, efsher, it's possible, ubamaylat tzorech, and if it's possible, then of course it means that we have to try to accomplish this, liyas mein zeh, b'kol echad v'echad g'am yishposhet, that each one of us should at least attain this at some point in life, maybe in some special circumstance. Even an ordinary person can accomplish this. V'gam mi she'yefshel l'agi l'darga kazu, and even if somebody cannot reach such a level, shli yargish agashmis mitzad goydel yechudu v'elukus, that he shouldn't be sent a feeling the gashmis because he's so connected to elukus, and that's all he feels. Even if he can't reach that, even in special times, even in special occasions and in an elevated spiritual time, even then is unable to get to this feeling of that there's nothing besides for b'chol derchechadayu. Hayal kaponim yochal lifu basmi shiyeh kol kach mutrad ba'avaydose b'da'eyu. You might be able to reach it by being so preoccupied, that your mind is so preoccupied by the desire to become connected to this idea, at least somewhat, that because of your preoccupation you lose the importance of the Gashmias. B'muchash, as we see, she'im ha'odam hu b'matzav shel hisrakshus atumah b'yoser, that when a person, let's say, becomes very excited or very emotional, involved in something, ein margish tam ha'maychol k'yetzva, you don't feel the taste. It's like somebody at his own wedding, if you ask him how did he like the chicken, it doesn't even remember what it tasted like, doesn't even remember what he ate. He's so excited about the joy of the chasana or your child's chasana, that you don't remember what you ate. It's completely went by you from the preoccupation. That's not a darga in Chassidus. That's not a darga in Kedusha. That's just a physical reality, that when you're preoccupied with something else, you don't care about food. It doesn't matter anymore. You don't even feel it. You don't even remember it. So becoming preoccupied with your desire to be attached to the Eivishter in such a way, maybe that can take your mind off the physical side of things. And this is the novel thing that we reached through on Yotis Kislev in regards to Yafutza Menesecha Chutza, excuse me, Banegose Shel Ha'ilam Kotnaze Adam, in regards to the conduct of a person, the small world, so to speak. B'loshin yafutzu menesecha chutzu mudgashim shnei inyonim. In the phrase, yafutzu menesecha chutzu, the wellspring should be spread to the outside, there are two emphases there. Alef shamayonis atzumim shochem b'pchinas chutzu, v'leirak shamayonis peilim b'chutzu, that the mayonis, the fountain itself, the wellspring itself, ends up in the chutzah, goes to the chutzah, not just that it leaves its impression, it sends its impression to the chutzah. Number two, hamshachosim shalom mayonis bepchinas chutzah ibeifin diyafutzu, that the way that the fountain or the wellspring reaches the chutzah has to be spread far and wide. His pashtus achig doyla rechava, in not just a trickle, but that it spreads out in the greatest way possible. Actually, nishar makam ponimahem, until there is nothing left which is not permeated by the fount, by the wellspring. Ksheyeshna makam sham ayonis einam agiim sham. And if there is a place where the wellspring hasn't reached, that in itself is proof that it's a limited spreading because it hasn't reached a certain place. And therefore, that's not real yafutsu. What does this mean in avodas adam? Every Jew has the wellspring. Shehi aneshama hagzura metachas kisei hakavod, which is the neshama which is carved from the kisei hakavod. The oid l'mayla mezayin, even higher than that which is tahirei, from a higher level even than kisei hakavod. Hinei mayan zeh, so this wellspring, the neshama, tzarech liyes etzle begilui, has to be revealed, gambi yonam agufnim shabai, even when it comes to the material things that a person is involved in. Hashem etzad asma imen b'chinis chutza, which by themselves would be considered chutza, they're just merely material things. M'chutz l'tchum nishmasa, they are outside the parameters of the neshama, on their own. So the neshama has to reach even that chutza. V'gila zeh shol mayin ha-neshama b'inyonim ha-gufnim, and this revealing of the neshama, the wellspring in the material things, also has to come to in the way of yafutzu minus echachutza in those two details mentioned before. Number one, shaneshama leirak shaletas al guv v'inyanov. Not only that the neshama controls the body, elashi atzman imtzaz b'hem, but that it, not that it influences the body, but that the body isn't itself, that the neshama hasn't reached the body. But rather, it has to be that the neshama has reached the body, that it functions together with the neshama, that it is merely a tool of the neshama. That not only is the aveda of the guf for the purpose of the sake of heaven, in other words, for the to carry out the agenda of the body, of the neshama, kim lamaylam is it's an even higher level, shabam atzmam hu oivadas Hashem, that it is through the physical activity that it is serving Hashem. Becholder hachadeyu, as he explained what becholder hachadeyu means before in Sivav. And also in the second detail, shehispashtus ha-neshama ba-guf e-inyonav i-ba-ifin shal yafutsu, that this spreading of the neshama into every corner of the guf has to be yafutsu yishpashtus bilti mekbelas, an infinite, unlimited spreading out, actually nishma mokam lahargish ha-guf, until there is no place, no part of this person's life where the guf is felt. Lefisha neshama tefeses bekule, because the neshama completely permeates every single aspect of the person. That's the ultimate where it has to reach. Al pi kol anal, based on this, musberes betaises bir teres shel magid. Now we can understand what the magid was saying in regards to malachim mamish. She'amru lefnei yutes kisel, he said it before yutes kisel, v'yem istal kusei, when he passed away. U'muvenes gam she'chusa shel terezu l'gulas ad morazoken b'yutes kisel. And it also explains the connection between Yutes Kislev and the passing of the Magid, and Yutes Kislev and the redemption of the Alter Rebbe. She'oz neshchadosh inyu shol yafutzu menesecha chutza, at the time of Yutes Kislev and the Alter Rebbe, that's when yafutzu menesecha came to be. Yiridus haneshama lamata, shehi bechdei levarer es gufay, the neshama coming down here, which is in order to refine the guf, achelka be'olam, and the part of the world that is connected to that neshama, la'aseisam dira lo'yiz barach, in order to make them into a dira for Hashem. He dugma se'inyin v'yishloch Yaakov malachim el Esav. That's similar to the idea of Yaakov sending malachim to Esav. She'shlichazu Esav de levarerei, which that shlichas, as he said before, was in order to elevate Esav. So also the neshama comes to the world in order to elevate the guf and the chelke b'olam. Geshem shashlichus l'Yaakov el Esav hoisat tzorich li is dafkal yidei malachim mamish. And just like the mission that Yaakov was sending to Esav in order to elevate him had to be done dafka through malachim, actual malachim. K'moy kein hu gam b'negei l'shlichus shol ha'neshama, the same is also true for the shlichus of the neshama levareres ha'guf ha'ilam, in order to elevate the guf in the world. Bira v'tikun oylam ha'toyu Esav, in order to elevate what's called oylam ha'toyu, which is what Esav represents. Those are the netzutzes that come from oylam ha'toyu. Ashezeu dafka al yidei sh'odem ha'ira ba'atzmei esebechines ha'malochim esaruchni yeshubay. This is only through the person, as he said before, that the Rebbe's the explanation of the Mezritcha Magid was that he sent the entire Malach, but the ruchnius of it was constantly attached to Yaakov. So also, the person has to awaken their ruchnius, the Malachim of himself, shal yoda dafke yochalias hu levareres inyani oilam, only through the ruchnius of the Malach is he able to elevate the world, of course. But since the Birurim, this elevation, can also be done in the lower level, as he mentioned before, the level of Masechel Shem Shamayim, that it's only done for the sake of heaven, but it itself is not heavenly. She'oz ha'neshama payelus beguf rak ba'efen shel shlita ve'helem, meaning that the neshama affects the guf only that it controls the activity of the nesha, of the body. It only controls the activity of the body, and therefore it's still concealed somewhat from the body. Acha guf kechaseh shel neshama mizlubashim beguf va'eskim vasukim boi val yodom binyani oilom harei b'metzias etefez makom la'atzma. And so much so is the neshama concealed that the guf still has. The guf that's involved in all of this activity still has its own identity. Therefore, the Magid explains shetachlis hakavona beinyan abirurim udafke shekeheser shalunashama oiskim inyanam gashmim. That's tafke when the keches of the neshama, which are involved in physical activity, hamalochim bishluchosim aleisav, in other words, the angels as they were sent to Esav, the mamish of the malochim, heim rak bebchinish shol mamish, sheheim tfeilim ubetelim, that they are seen as mamish, they are seen as something secondary. Umiyochadim betachos bebchinas haruchnish ebeneshama. And that they're seen as only something secondary, and therefore they're completely bottled to the neshama. V'hainu shegam hamadrega achi nailus the neshama, hamayin da neshama, that even the highest level of the neshama, which is the mayim, what we called before the spring of the neshama, the wellspring of the neshama, ilamayla meislabshu b'inyanim gashmi, which is truly is not mislabish in gashmias, meiro umizgala ba'efen shalafotza, even this level, this very very removed level, the part that's, as he said, the Mizritcha Magid said, remains with Yaakov. It's lamayla from being mizgala in the Esav world, but it still illuminates the neshama or the guf ba'efen shalafotza v'ispashas bilti mukbelus gam b'chinas chutzah mamish, even in the place, even in mamish, in the chutzah, in the very furthest reaches. Be'etzem, it has no shaychas to that place, but even then it's nizgala there. K'meikin hu be'inyin b'muvani ha'poshet shal yafutza menesecha chutzah. And this is also true for the simple meaning of Yefutza Menesecha Chutzah. Lahafitz Mayonas Chizus B'chol Mokum HaMokum, to spread Chizus to every literal, physical place, geographical place. HaSeder B'zeh Sudar Al Yidei Rabbi Sein Nusiyenu. The order, the Seder of this was also arranged by the Rabbeim Shesheichem Shluchem HaMekayim Shoinim, that they send agents to different places, B'chei Lahafitz U'Legal HaSham Mayonas HaChizus, in order to spread to there also the wellsprings of chassidus v'gamenegel l'shlichazu yesh noirash malachim mamish, that also in regards to this shlichus there is also the same lesson of malachim mamish. The first lesson was the shlichus of the neshama to the guf. Here it's the shlichus of the shluchim to the places where they go to. Kleimar ime yesh birur hadavar shal hashliach lases es shluchusai shabarer hadavar. Even though it's clear that the shliach has to do a shlichus loyrak b'even shalotzer tzedechavaser bilvat, not only to do it in a perfunctionary way. In other words, where he doesn't put everything into it, he doesn't go down to the nitty gritty. It can't be done like that. Kim b'chol nimin nishmasi, it has to be done with every talent and every passion and everything that he has. B'chol zeh olav gam liyizar ma'ed shemekayim shel chutza shaboy hu meifitz es hamayonis. You still have to be careful that the places where you go to shouldn't affect you, chas v'shalom, to drag them down to their level. In other words, if you would say that a shliach only goes there and he doesn't really get involved with the place that he's in, he's there, in other words, still remains connected, he's living in a different world, but he's there in order to do something, so then there's less danger to become affected. But if you're, as a shliach, you're told, use every single talent, get down into every chutzah, everything you have to bring, everything to bear on your shlichus, so then you're being invested into it, you're putting yourself into it, you're reaching down into the depths of your personality to get involved. Then there's a chashash that you could get caught up. So you have to be careful not to get caught up. In order to be certain that the chutzah should not affect you, but to the contrary, that you should turn that into a wellspring of holiness. The best advice for this is that even when you're involved in spreading to the outside, you have to be complete. You have to know at all times, and not just know at all times, but this is what you, how you function, that you are merely carrying out the kavana of the one who sent you, of the Rebbe. The zua iroa meteres hamagid b'negel shluchim kipshutam. That's in other words the mamish, that the he sent only the mamish, that the neshama was still connected to Yaakov, and that's why it was able to elevate also Esav. The zuayirah metedus amagib negeilu shluchim kipshutim, and this is the lesson for the shluchim. Rak haguf hamamish shalehem ye osig b'shlichus achutza Esav. Only the guf, in other words, the mamish, should be involved in the shlichus. Aval aruchni shalehem tishor biskashrusim shaleich Yaakov. The ruchnius is always tied and connected to the mishaleach, to Yaakov. But you have to invest yourself, but the ruchnius never gets caught up into it. In other words, it has to be part of them, inculcated into the heart of every shliach, even when they're busy with their afotzeh, that the only reason that they're involved with the chutzah is to fulfill the will of the mishaleach, without allowing anything to side, anything of the, on the side, anything of the mamish to become part of it. As he said that by certain people, the guf is completely part of the, is subservient to the ruchni, is not just subservient, but only an extension of the ruchni is, and the neshama. Sha'oz harei ruchniyosam hi eitzel ha-meshaleach, then the ruchni is remains dedicated and connected and tied in to the meshaleach, to the one who sent him. Yadua teiris of al-shemtev, shemakam v'shiritzayni shal-adam, shamun nimtza, and as we know what the Baal Shem Tov said, that the place where a person's will, that's where he truly is. In other words, if the person, the shliach's will, is always connected to the mishaleach, then that's where he truly is. The kiyum hayirazu, and fulfilling this teaching, shabira shalam chutza esav yibayfen shal malachim mamish, that the elevation of the of esav should be as the Mezrit Shemaget said, Malachim Mamesh. Zeu gufa noisen es hakeach lemilei ha-shlichus. That's what gives you the ability to be able to fulfill the shlichus. As of sof kol sof, to hapech chutzah lemayonis, to turn, to transform what is considered chutzah outside, it should become part of the wellspring. Ad shezeichem shayidei zeh lehayyud, to all the mashim ha-atzim lishvet zarezev, until we will reach, we will be zeichel also the prophecy that we will go on to the mountain to command to rule over Har Eser Shabbachol Olam Kule Gam Bechinas Chutza Hashiach Es Leisav. Then the whole world, even the outside, which is the domain of Esav, Yiyeh V'Hesel Hashem Amlucha, will be the Hashem's domain.